Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the coach. You're checking out the Brad Gilmore Show with the dress shoe wearing, Ric Flair good hair having, entertainment world champion, Brad Gilmore. World champion, Brad Gilmore. Brad, did you really think I was going to cut a promo for you? Supporting you? Listen, man, I was born a heel. I'm going to die a heel. And in the middle, I'm going to roll a heel.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
This is the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. On demand.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on demand right here.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Can you get that, sucker?
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
And now, here's your host, Brad Gilmore. Gilmore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show. On demand. What episode is this? Is this 77? Welcome to episode 77 of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand, which I want to thank you for tuning into. If you are on bradjgilmore.com, www.bradgilmoreshow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and this just added TuneIn Radio. Yes, we're on TuneIn Radio now, so thank you. On all that stuff. I might have to get a new outro now, but thank you if you subscribe on iTunes. It's the easiest way to get this show each and every single week, which we give to you free of charge, brought to you by Brad Gilmore, produced by Brad Gilmore, hosted by Brad Gilmore, interviews conducted by Brad Gilmore, brother. But thank you if you subscribe. If you're on iTunes, go over and make sure you do a 5-star rating. That stuff, it helps. Some algorithm. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I know it's something to do with an algorithm that helps us out. So if you can do that, and while you're there, take 60 seconds, write a quick little review about the Brad Gilmore Show, and a positive one. I'm not about negativity, but preach positivity, and you just let it burn and spark it out, and it's going to be great. But go over and leave a review, and that'd be really appreciated. Thank you, though, for however you tune into the show. And we have a great one for you today. What did y'all think about last week's episode? Replay of the Brad Gilmore Show at night. Our first episode, Peaches, Ave 11, Super Dave, Sci-Fi Ablaze Burna. So much debauchery went on during that show. It was a really fun show to do. We only did, like, I think 15 episodes or 17 episodes of the Brad Gilmore Show at night. I had a falling out somewhat with the guy who was the producer over there. But, you know, it's all cool now. We just had different creative visions for the show. And I got to have my vision. And I want to say that to everybody. If you have a distinct vision for how you want to do something that is yours, never let anyone tell you to not do it that way. Because you're only going to be able to connect with what you want to do. And with what your vision is, you can't connect. It's like playing a movie role. You know, you have to connect with the character. If you don't connect with the character, you're not going to deliver a good performance. Like I just went and saw The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. Amazing film. One of the best movies I've seen this entire year. And you could tell that Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall, as well as the rest of the cast, but those two stars in particular, really connected with their roles on some level, some emotional level. They were able to tap into their roles, and they connected, and they had that connection. But if Robert Downey Jr. were to play something where he just didn't have a connection to it at all, or Robert Duvall, then, need to put that on silent, but then they couldn't give the amazing performance like they did in this movie. So just for future reference, if you're a creative person or you're doing something that you're really passionate about and you know that you can do it to the best of your ability, if you do it this particular way, do it that way. Don't let anybody tell you no, brother. But thank you, though, for tuning into the debaucherous episode, which was the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. I know we had a lot of adult language and situations on there, but Thank you for bearing with us. I'm back, though. Fresh episode this week. We actually have a lot of good stuff coming up this week. Episode 2 of Nerds Are Geeks coming this week on Wednesday, and hopefully on Friday we're going to have a new announce table for you with Kyle Hubbard. So look forward to all that stuff. But today's show is very special. Back on the show, he was on last week. He's been on 4 or 5 times, but this is his first time as us. Avery is us, is on the show today. Ave is getting ready. Tomorrow, I think he leaves to go to New York, and then he comes back on Thursday, and that night he's playing a show at Fitzgerald's, and then the next day, or I don't know, Thursday, he has a show, and he gets back Friday and then plays that night at Fitzgerald's. We'll talk about all that, but really proud of Avery and all the stuff he's doing, you know, going on a little solo route. Not to worry, I'm hoping, I know new 2011 music will be coming soon. We have a couple records that we just haven't even finished yet, but go over to iTunes. Dance Floor to the Sun is available now. It's our single off of our new EP coming out soon called Second Sun. But anyway, I'm so proud of Avery on his solo tip. You know, he's going as us, and he's got shows in New York and Los Angeles and here in Houston. And you know, he's really practicing hard. He's at Brown Sugar Studios every day, you know, trying to make sure he gets that set right. So I'm hoping he's going to figure it out, and I know he will. He's such a talented guy, one of the most talented musical people I've ever met. Because, you know, it's funny how Avery and I really got started. It was 8th grade. We were both in 8th grade, 2006 going into 2007. And we were at Lanier Middle School, Sydney Lanier Middle School, home of the Purple Pups. If you could believe that, my middle school mascot was the Purple Pups. I'm just saying, weirdest mascot ever. It was almost embarrassing to tell, like, you know, when my uncles or something were over for Thanksgiving, and we were talking about Lanier Middle School, and everyone knows it. Oh, that's the Purple Pups, right? Y'all are the Purple Pups? Just, what a terrible mascot name. And speaking about that, my high school, my alma mater at high school, changed their name from the Redskins to the Texans, which I love the name Texans because I am a Texan, but come on, the Redskins, brother. Warrior, brother, 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 brother. Anyway, we met each other at Lanier Middle School. Well, we met each other in Poe Elementary, but we were in Lanier Middle School. I'm sorry. It's late at night when I'm podcasting. I'm podcasting late at night. My mind isn't working right. But anyway, we were in high school, middle school. See, look at me. We were in middle school, 8th grade, 2006, 2007, and Avery was always a musical guy. He played the drums for as long as I can remember. Like, first grade when I met him, he was playing the drums, and I got really big into hip-hop, and I was like, man, hip-hop's so tight. It's so cool. I like rapping because I want to be a rapper, brother. So I told Avery, I'm like, dude, I want to be a rapper, and you're going to be my DJ. So I just christened him, you are DJ Ave from now on, and you're going to produce all my beats and be my DJ. And then that turned into another friend of ours, Clayton, joining in, and then we became what ultimately became 2011. But I just remember dawning him, you are DJ Ave, because Ave is what we always called him. And I was like, you are DJ Ave, and you're going to produce and DJ and occasionally rap when I can't write a second verse. And that's how 2011 really started, was with me and Avery. So it's interesting to me that he's come so far to where he couldn't even really make a beat, and now he's one of the most talented producers I've ever, you know, he's definitely the most talented producer I've ever worked with, and one of the most talented producers I've ever seen work in a studio, where you can just tell him an idea, and he just starts going, you know, and you can see his ideas. I mean, the sounds and the melodies and the drum patterns and the hi-hats and the bass lines and everything are just going 100 miles an hour in his head when you're talking to him and you're describing him the sound you want, and he always ends up figuring out how to produce exactly what you want. So I'm really excited that he's doing the solo kick, kind of getting out. You know, he did sing on 2011's new single. There's the second plug of the show. I'm sure there's going to be another one. Dance Floor to the Sun on iTunes right now or on Spotify. But yeah, so he's doing a lot. We're going to talk more about it and more about what Us comes from. But his EP comes out this Friday? I think, yeah, this Friday. This Friday his EP drops, his official 5-song EP. which is the one with all the Roman numerals and the wedding ring broken in half on the front cover. I can't remember the exact Roman numerals. It's like 529, 10 or something like that, or 9. I'm sorry, Avery. Don't shoot me. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think it's something close to that, or like 527.9, I think is what it is. So yeah, we're going to talk about that on today's show, and then next week I have such an amazing guest for you, but I'll get more into that to it later. It'll be fine. Later we will get into my guest for next week, but right now I want to talk about what I didn't get to talk about on last week's episode. There's so much stuff going on last week, and it just got to the point to where I was like, man, I'm trying to get this show together. I wanted to play this interview, but I was like, you know, I'm going to save this one to where I can talk about my weekend. I can kind of let everyone know how Reality of Wrestling went, because I had so much stories to tell from that. Reality of Wrestling went amazingly. It was one of my favorite shows I've been a part of. It's definitely my favorite show I've ever gotten to call commentary on. But let me run through the day. I want to run through the day for you. So I wake up late. Alarm clock doesn't go off. Now, whenever we have a special guest in town, to come to the Reality Wrestling Show, I'm kind of the designated driver. I go pick them up from the airport or the hotel, take them to the arena, and then I take them back home afterward. I become the designated driver, if you will. Maybe it's because I'm clean and sober, straight edge, whatever. I don't know. But Booker T and Sharmell have entrusted me to pick up the guests and take them to the venue. So I'm supposed to go pick up one of my favorite guys from the Attitude Era, Hardcore Bob Holly, from his hotel room over by George Bush Intercontinental, and I'm supposed to go get him at 2. So I was like, you know, I had a long night Friday night. I'm going to sleep in a little bit, wake up, get a Red Bull kicking, stop at the Shell station, get my Red Bull, head on, pick up Bob Holly, take him to the arena, then start preparing for the show. So I didn't get up until like maybe like 12, and I wanted to get up at May 10. So there I go. I get up at 12 and I'm already kind of rushing. I'm in a mad dash. And then, so I'm hungry, and I know once I get to the arena, I'm not leaving. So I wouldn't be able to eat until dinner time. So here's the thing. So I'm trying to think, how am I going to eat? I end up going to Cafe Express, get some real quick, pick it. You know, I sat there and ate it real quick, fast. I was in there 20 minutes tops. I'm like, okay, I got enough time. And then I didn't think, oh man, I got to go to the dry cleaners to get my shirt and suit for tonight's show. So I completely forgot. So I had to run over to the dry cleaners, boom, pick that up, go home, change. By the time I'm done and changing and everything, it's like 1:40, 1:45. So I'm like, okay, crap. So I go into the driveway, get inside Clifford the Big Red Truck, turn the key into the ignition. It's ready. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, okay, I look good. The suit's looking nice. I picked out a good tie. The navy shirt is really working with my skin complexion right now because I'm in that awkward transition between summer and fall. So I'm kind of still got some color, but I'm losing the color at the same time. But it works good with what I'm wearing. So I go to put the car in reverse. I grab the stick shift, squeeze a little button on it that releases the gears, pull back on it to put it into reverse, and it goes, and it pulls all the way back into drive 2, and then I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I have my foot on the brake still, so I go to put it in reverse, and it's in reverse, but it won't go backward. It won't go reverse. It just is not doing anything. I can't get it in neutral, can't get it in drive, can't get it in drive 1, 2. Nothing on the Pernurndle was working. You like that Pernurndle? Nothing on there was working. So I put it in park. I call my father, which is the first thing I do whenever I have any car emergency. I'm like, Dad, what's going on with the car? It's not changing. He happened to not be too far away. So he came over and he was like, man, I don't know. Da, 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 da. So he was like, here, just take my vehicle, go pick up Bob Holly, and we'll figure this out later. We'll figure it out another day. I was like, oh, crap. Okay. I was like, thanks, Pops. So, boom, I hop in my mother and father's Lexus RX350 or whatever car. I don't care. It was a Lexus. It was like a soccer mom vehicle. So, boom, I head out to the airport, go to pick up Hardcore Holly. And mind you, I've heard so many stories on different podcasts, read them in books, saw on, you know, WWE documentaries, read online so many times about Hardcore Holly and how he's a tough dude. And, you know, he would beat you up in the ring, you know, work stiff, you know, threw some potatoes. Just, these were just things I read. I didn't know the man, obviously, but I just remember being such a huge fan of his during the Attitude Era because I was such a big hardcore fan of the hardcore matches, the tables, the ladders, the chairs, the barbed wire baseball bats with flaming heads, you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff. The thumbtacks. So I was a huge fan of his. So here I am, you know, I get his number to call him, you know, and I pull up to the hotel and I call him and I say, you know, hey, Mr. Holly, this is Brad Gilmore from Reality of Wrestling. I'm here to give you a ride to the arena. He's like, yeah, no problem. I'm right here in the lobby. I'll be out in 2 seconds. I was like, cool. So Bob Holly comes out and he's just like, you know, I remember him on television because he was just on television like back in 2009 was the last time I saw him. And he was just so, he looked exactly the same, huge guy, super muscular, like jacked. And we shake hands. I say, I'm Brad Gilmore. Nice to meet you. He said, hi, Brad, Bob Holly. And his the airline actually broke his luggage, his baggage. And we talked about that for a minute. Anyway, boom, take him when I'm taking him to the arena, it's about an hour drive. And he was, without a doubt, one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I don't want to kill his character, brother, his gimmick, brother. But he was such a nice person. Like, he was genuinely so nice. And just, we were just talking. He's like, you know, you knew him for years almost. And he even offered to, like, he was like, hey, I was telling him about my truck issues. He's like, hey, you want to, I can stop and fix your truck for you. I'm like, no, it's okay, Hardcore Holly. You're working the main event tonight, brother. We don't have time to go to my house and fix my Clifford the Big Red truck. So anyway, get to the arena. So I'm sitting there talking to Kevin Bernhardt. And, you know, Booker's there with Hardcore Holly and newest member of the Reality of Wrestling team, Bruce Pritchard. Yes, brother love to some of you longtime wrestling fans is helping us out here in Reality Wrestling. So we were just all sitting there chatting, got my show notes ready to call the matches, got with Matt T.P. Topolsky, and we just started chatting. And next thing I knew it was time for wrestling. And such a great show. All the guys in Reality Wrestling work so hard. I have so much respect for every wrestler on the roster, for the lighting crew, the referees, the ring announcer Jeremiah. You have big shoes to fill, brother. How many times did I say brother on the show? Can someone count and tweet me? Can someone? Yeah, I don't know why that's my thing to say. So many people. I mean, it was talented Justin, obviously the whole camera crew, all the photographers there. Cindy, everyone working the concessions with OJ and Charmel and Booker, obviously, and Kevin put their heart and soul into it. So it's a really, it's a great atmosphere to be around, really great people. So it was a great show. The main event was Mysterious Q defending the Reality Wrestling Heavyweight Championship against Hardcore Bob Holly, or the Alabama Outlaw Bob Holly, and Stevie Ray in his corner, and it was just a great night, great matches. It was that main event with Bob Holly and Mysterious Q is the best match I've ever called so far in my short career as a color commentator, and I'm so proud of that match. I can't wait to hear it back and see it on Reality Wrestling television, which, by the way, every Saturday night here in Houston, 2 a.m. on the Cube, and also like 20 or 30 cities on Soul of the South Network, SSN.TV, or RealityWrestling.com. We'll get you catched up. Look at me, late at night, and I'm saying stuff. Catch up. It'll get you catch up and mustard. No, it'll get you all caught up with what's been going on in Reality of Wrestling. Transitioning, though, you know, taking Bob Holly back, we exchanged contact information, and, you know, he was just like, you know, if you ever need anything, hit me up. And I was like, man, if you're ever in Houston, hit me up, brother. There we go again. Can I get like a bell? A bell to, you know, should I do a bell? I need like a cowbell like Jericho on here. And speaking of which, you know, I actually got Bob Holly's book today in the mail. I ordered his book off of Amazon. I thought I should read it now. And it's Bob Holly, The Hardcore Truth. I've heard good things from our buddy Jason, Jason the Solid Monster, on his book review of it. So I'm really looking forward to sitting down and reading it. I got so many books. I've never been a book guy. You know, I've never been one to read a lot of books. You know, I'm big on reading articles, but I've never read books. I always prefer the audio book, you know, because obviously I love podcasts. I love podcasting. So listening to something makes more sense to me. But I got three books here in the last week, two of them wrestling related, one of them a gift. But I got a Hardcore Holly's book, and I also got Chris Jericho's new book, The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea. And I started reading that, and it's funny so far. That's the first one of the three I'm going to read first. And started reading it, and he's just, you know, you understand why Chris Jericho had such a great career, because he's such an entertaining guy to where he's even getting me to laugh via book, you know, via text. It's hard to read text and just laugh. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever read a joke? Have you, like, read a joke, and then you read the punchline, and in your head you're like, well, that's stupid. But it's all about the delivery, right? You know, I could say a million different jokes, like, whatever, you know, what was the Pirates, you know, movie rated? Arr, right? Dumbest joke of all time, especially if you read it. But there are some talented people out there who can deliver that and make it funny. So it's all about delivery. So reading Chris Jericho's book, I can hear his voice, and I can, you know, I guess I've heard him, you know, for what, 14 years or however long he's been in WWE, you know, when he made his debut up in 99 till now. So however long that is, 15 years, I've heard Jericho's voice. So I kind of know, and I listen to his podcast, so I know how his cadence is when he's talking. And so I hear it. I read the book almost in his cadence, which makes it a lot more entertaining than it would if you're just reading words on a page. So Chris Jericho's book, really great. The other book I got was a gift from my girlfriend, my lovely, beautiful girlfriend, Farah. Shout out to you, Farah Z. She bought me a book called Kaufman, or Kaufman, however you want to pronounce it, about the life and career of Andy Kaufman, written by Bob Zamuda, and which is his closest friend. And I'm so excited to read it, because Andy Kaufman, ever since I, you know, saw Man on the Moon when I was a little kid, my parents and I went and saw Man on the Moon, and I was like, this guy is amazing. I've never heard of him, but he's amazing. He's funny, he's a comedian, even though, you know, he's a performance artist for you Kaufman fans, but he's a comedian. He's hilarious, which I love comedy and have such a deep admiration for that. And then he was a practical joker. He was known for pushing people's buttons and just screwing with people, which I loved. And then he was a huge hellacious wrestling fan, which, ding, 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 that's a big thing for me. I remember Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler were in the movie. And so, I mean, I was always enamored with Andy Kaufman, and I'm so excited to get to read this book after I read Jericho's book, just to know a little bit more about him. Because if you haven't seen A Man on the Moon or you don't know anything about Andy Kaufman, you got to go look this guy up. He's one of my biggest inspirations just in entertainment. One of the guys who I consider, you know, in the entertainment world champion Hall of Fame. He's a lifetime entertainment world champion, as I am just the reigning and defending, dress shoe wearing Ric Flair and good hair having entertainment world champion. But I'm so excited to read that. So I got three books I'm reading right now, starting with Chris Jericho. I was going to read Bob Holly's and Andy Kaufman, the book about Andy Kaufman, written by Bob Zamuda, who was portrayed by Paul Giamatti in the movie, along with Jim Carrey as Andy Kaufman. So if you haven't seen that, definitely check that out on, I think it's on Netflix. It should be on Netflix. But so much stuff, though. Not only going on in the wrestling world, we're getting ready for Hell in a Cell this Sunday, main evented by, is it Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, or Randy Orton and John Cena, both in Hell in a Cell matches. Really looking forward to Brie versus Nikki. I know a lot of people shit all over that feud, but I like it. I'm a Brie Bella guy. Oh, I guess I'm a Nikki Bella guy, technically, even though they're twins. I'm going to get myself in trouble if my girlfriend continues to listen. So I'm going to change the subject, but should be a good card. I'm really looking forward to it. Hell in a Cell. Dean Ambrose should beat Seth Rollins. I think there's going to be some kind of screw job finish with John Cena and Randy Orton. I don't really know. I did read, though, today that they are going to be like the main focus. So they're going to be the main event. They're going to go on last, which I don't know is, I guess they have more name recognition than Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, but not the choice I would go with. But what do I know? I'm not a booker. I'm just a spectator of the WWE. Now, if we're talking reality of wrestling, Might be a little different story, even though I'm still not the booker. I'm a spectator who happens to talk on a microphone. Anyway, looking forward to that. Looking forward to these two guys to go in the ring, step inside the Hell in a Cell, and settle a beef. And speaking of beef, there's been some beef in the hip-hop community as of late. We can talk about a couple of them. Iggy Azalea and Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg starts snapping on Iggy Azalea out of nowhere. And I was like, what in the hell is going on here? Just calling her B's, C's, H's, all kinds of great words that you can call women. And really just offensive. And I know Snoop Dogg's kind of like the guy who's been like the peacekeeper as of late. I know he's definitely handled and squashed a lot of beefs in the West Coast and in different you know, areas and regions in the hip-hop hemisphere of North America. And I find it really weird that he would start going at somebody. But, you know, I even saw him, though, going at MySpace recently, too, like tweeting them like crazy things. So I don't know what's going on with Uncle Snoop. I'm a huge Snoop Dogg fan. You know, when I saw him at South by Southwest back in 2012, it's a night I'll never forget. I was literally like inches, maybe like 4 inches away from Snoop Dogg. And we, you know, it was a crazy experience because I'm such a huge Snoop fan. But anyway, I don't know what happened. I know Iggy Azalea was kind of hurt by it, but I think they've since squashed it. If I've read correctly, like T.I. like was the bridge between the gap and squashed the beef. But I wasn't sure what was going on. And then the same time that was happening, there were two guys here in Houston beefing. Local, you know, indie guys beefing. And it's confusing to me because the city of Houston had an epic beef, the North Side, South Side beef, which went on for, you know, years and really didn't do anything except hold our city back in a sense. And, you know, and you can see the documentary on, you know, B5 or whatever those whatever volume of beef it was on those tapes, those documentaries. But it kind of held the city of Houston back a little bit because we were so worried about dividing our city in half and beefing between each other than to look at the grand scheme of things and say, hey, we need to team up, all right, North and the South Side. And boom, that's when, you know, Braids and Fades and all that stuff, you know, Snoop and ESG kind of Slim and ESG coming through and kind of starting to, you know, with the Boss Hog Outlaws album and it started to kind of bridge the gap between the South and the North. So for me now, as a guy my age and in my generation of the generation I'm currently in, you know, that we talked about with Hash Brown a few weeks ago, the generation I'm currently in of the new class of hip-hop, the new Houston collective, if you're going to take time out to beef with one another, you're just going to spin yourself in circles, and it's going to be the crabs in a bucket mentality that we've been accused of for so long. And it really doesn't help anybody. And I saw someone, these two guys, so what happened, this one guy, and I just want to leave their names out of it, not that I'm not trying to, like, put, you know, everyone who listens to the show and knows the situation knows the people I'm talking about. And this is in no slight to them at all personally. I'm just looking at it through a spectator's eyes. So what happened? One guy dropped a diss track over a Wu-Ha instrumental by Busta Rhymes, a freestyle, right? And he has a new tape coming out. So, you know, he puts out this record and it gets a lot of buzz. You know, it's on DannyDream.com and gets a lot of buzz and it has the whole Twitter sphere talking. And so anyway, later that night, this guy who he dissed records a response record. And here's the thing. I love beef. I love the battle. You know, I mean, Jay-Z and Nas, you know, I talk about Ether versus Takeover on all those classic Brad Gilmore shows. That was the one question I always ask everybody. And I talked about it with True Styles when he was on the show. And obviously, Takeover is the greatest diss of all time, bar none. But I love beef and I like the interaction of it, but it's just like, for me, Jay-Z and Nas had a huge platform. Millions of people following both these MCs. They both were already, at the time of their beef, considered legends in the industry. Nas, you know, the seasoned veteran of 10 years at the time their beef took place, and Jay-Z, you know, dropping the blueprint 5 years into the game and changing hip-hop forever. Same with Nas with Illmatic. And they had a large platform, like I was saying, millions of people following them. So their beef was more of a public sparring between two MCs lyrically. And yeah, it got personal with some stuff, you know, like Super Ugly Freestyle was a little heavy on Jay's part, but, you know, whatever. But to me, at the end of the day, it's like a good wrestling rivalry, right? At the end of the day, it's supposed to elevate both guys. And it elevated Jay-Z's career, and to an extent, it elevated Nas's career. And we've seen them make up now. I mean, Jay-Z, you know, essentially signed Nas to Def Jam. Even though he said in the interview with Sway it's more like a partnership, Jay-Z was president of Def Jam, and he signed Nas. So, but anyway, they squashed the beef. That's what I'm trying to say. But when you're on a, and I don't want to say this in a negative context, but when you're on a lower level of things, it just kind of befunders me that you would want to take time and record and put effort into dissing somebody else who's on your same plateau, on your same level, in the same scene as you, running in some of the same circles as you. And I find it just crazy you want to take the time out of that to record that diss, put it out, and then for him to take the time to respond. And it's the same thing on both ends. It's just they're taking up time when they could be sitting there worried about their own career and their own path instead of taking time to put negative energy into the atmosphere. Okay, because when you put that negative energy out to somebody else, it's going to come back to you tenfold. We know this, all right? It's the law of attraction. You're putting out negative, you're going to get back negative. So why don't you just worry about your own music on both sides of the fence? Both parties need to just worry about their own music and work to get themselves better. Because worrying about the other guy is never going, you're never going to progress that way. You're going to stay stagnant. To bring it back to wrestling terms, WWE went out during the Monday Night Wars. And yeah, they tried to outdo WCW, which that's what you're supposed to do. You're trying to outdo your competition. But WCW, on the other hand, wanted to put Vince out of business. Vince McMahon just wanted to be number one, but Eric Bischoff and Ted Turner wanted to put Vince out of business. And that's why, ultimately, for a multitude of other reasons, that's why, ultimately, WCW failed. WCW went out of business, and they were backed by a billionaire. But WWE took the time, weathered the storm, and came out on top. And are the biggest juggernaut, you know, there is today in sports entertainment. Not just wrestling. They're one of the biggest brands in entertainment. WrestleMania is one of the highest grossing sporting events and live events each year in the entire world. So if you take time to worry about the other guy, you're going to eventually run yourself out of business. But if you stay the course, weather the storm, be aware of your competition, be aware of everybody, but don't try to put them out of business. You just worry about getting yours. Then you're going to elevate. So we need to think about that. If we're trying to grow and be the next 2005 era with the Paul Walls, the Mike Jones, the Slim Thugs, and the Chamillionaires, if we want to be that era of Houston again, where we're mainstream, we can't internally beef with everybody. There's always going to be people you like and dislike. That's just life. But you don't need to take time to harp on your negative feelings toward a person and cement those feelings for eternity on a song when you're trying to elevate yourself. Just my thoughts on that. And even with the Snoop and Iggy beef, it's kind of stupid. And, you know, I actually, back to their beef for a second, I heard something on Hot 97 where they were talking about, which is a morning show, Ebro in the Morning with Peter Rosenberg and Laura Stiles. And they were talking about, they had people call in and say, you know, why do you think this beef is going? Does Snoop Dogg go too far? And this first lady was like, Snoop Dogg went too far. Well, let me not say he went too far. And then she went to attack Iggy Azalea, saying that, you know, Iggy is putting on a facade. Why doesn't she sound like an Australian girl when she raps? Well, let me tell you something real quick, you dumb MF-er. You stupid person. You stupid, idiotic peckerhead. We're going to be talking about Peter Rosenberg. I'm a shout out to Peter Rosenberg with the peckerhead. Let me tell you something, peckerhead. Iggy Azalea isn't trying to be somebody else when she raps. That's just what she knows. She's trying to entertain. She's trying to be an entertainer which is what we all trying to be in show business, is what I'm trying to be. But when I rap, I don't sound like I do right now. And that's not intentionally. Just when I, when, what I've learned when I, as I rap, you have a certain swag to it. You have a certain dialect. You talk a certain way. You know, I mean, so it's just, to me, ignorant to say, oh, she don't sound like she's an Australian white girl. So she must be fake and phony. Snoop Dogg can call her whatever he wants. You're the dumbest person alive. I just want you to know that you're a stupid idiot. I want to say other words, but guess what? I'm a higher education than you. I'm not going to snoop. I'm not going to snoop. I'm not going to stoop down to your level and say the same words that you would say about somebody. But listen, caller, which I know you're never going to hear this, but listen, caller, stop being a peckerhead. Anyway, that's all I got to say. More stuff coming up. We're about to get into DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show. Next week, we have a great show for you today. Next week, just like we do today and every week. But next week, we have Leland, one of the coolest guys, one of the first guests of the Brad Gilmore Show ever. Leland's going to be sitting in with us for a good lengthy conversation about his new EP, Deprived, and about the multitude of other things. That was an interesting podcast that I'll talk more about next week. So right now, let's stay tuned, sit back, relax. Here's DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. And we'll be back and talk a little bit with Ave 11, a.k.a. Avery Davis, a.k.a. us.
That body I wanna do. Damn girl, I'm feeling you. So let's just do. And me, I'm in that place you wanna be. Yeah girl, I'm talking VIP. So let's just be. So let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forget what we came for. Cause tomorrow is way too soon. We don't need no fancy cars. Still a living shoes and stars. Forget your phone, let's have some fun.
Picture perfect like the Huxtables, but I'm just trying to figure out if I love you though. Cause you know what they say about your type, off-white, model like, only order salads right, petite, with an accent that's thick as hell, real sweet, with some eyes like you're from Brazil. And well, I can tell that you're feeling this, and in them Louis Vuittons, girl, you be killing it. This is something that I've been on, and your body I can send on, friend zone, I'm just asking what the fuck is that? You're not trying to fall in love, good luck with that. Cause your mama say better get stuck with that, and your friends say he is where the buzz is at. So, why you trying to act mean, girl, when you know your boy tighter than them skinny jeans, girl. Spit like a list, but I gotta keep it clean, girl. You just gotta try me once, I'm a fiend, girl. Dream, girl. Something like Beyonce ring, girl. Something like Beyonce one day. Maybe a bunch of kids like the Brady. Trying to say the world, why Clef on some Haiti? Lately, baby, I been think I can change for you. Got a boy playing a new game
so
for you.
Let's go. Take my hand to the dance floor. Forgetting what we came for. Cause tomorrow's way.
To the sun, you worked all day, got a little bit done. That's okay, now the night begins. As long as we don't go home tonight, never ends. So, oh, yo, we're way past go. Collect 200, now let's head to the show. See your favorite band with a drink in the hand. The way you look at me, it's clear I'm the man. But this ain't about me, this about you. The way you're looking at me is how I'm looking at you. With them cat eye shades, thin little waist, thick gold ass and the lips that taste. Say what you think about, she said nothing. It's easy to see that heart start to pumping, pulse increasing, cheeks start to blushing. But do you wanna be
starting something. Mama say, mama side, mama cool side. Mama say, mama side, mama cool side. Your mama don't like me, daddy wanna fight me. I don't really care, you down or not. We can hop in the truck, drive far away. And with a little luck, maybe you stay in my bed, rest your head. And we can think about the greatest day.
Hey, let me sneak back in for a second. That was 2011, Dance Floor to the Sun. If you like that, you can go buy it on iTunes, or you can buy it through our website, or my website, rather. It's on my website. I'm sorry. It's on my website, brother. BradJGilmore.com. That's Dance Floor to the Sun by 2011. Produced and produced and vocals on the hook, Ave 11, a.k.a. us. And we're about to get to that interview right this second. Hello, everybody. Brad Gilmore Show, back with a guy who's been on the show. He's been here.
I've been here.
You've been in front of the scenes and behind the scenes and all a part of the scene.
I've been on both sides of the scene.
You've been both. You're playing both sides of the balls. I'm sorry.
I've been all around the ball.
You've been all around the ball.
Yep.
You've put your hands all on it. You know, you've caught it. You've definitely caught it a lot.
I'm all about the ball.
But anyway. Now, how do I introduce you, though? Because there's so many names that I know you by.
Yeah.
You know, there's Avery Davis, which is your name.
Yeah.
APD.
APD.
Ave Dave.
Ave Dave.
Ave 11.
Yep.
Avo, which is what someone called you one time.
Yeah, who?
I think it was
that
Bonnie.
That was weird.
Someone. Avo. Weird. I don't know what the hell that meant.
Yeah, that makes me feel weird. I don't
know. AD.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's Ave 11. There's DJ Ave.
Yeah, but say some people still call me DJ Ave.
Some people call you DJ Ave, which is fun, is old school. But you also, Avery is us.
Yes.
Us is Avery.
Yes.
I mean, what is it? Well, how do I introduce you? Us?
I guess in this instance, I could be us.
You could be us.
Yeah.
Now stylized dash US, capital U, lowercase s, period.
Yes, that is us.
That's a lot. Let's talk about that. Why the dash and the dot and the...
So really the, my thinking behind that was just like, basically like signing off like a letter or a note.
Okay.
Not so much like a letter, I guess, cause that's not as formal, but yeah, just like a note just signed us.
Yeah. So you kind of dash.
Yeah.
Us,
a lot of my music is very personal. And so it's just like, you know, this is my letter from you, and from me, sorry, from us.
From us, from us.
Ooh,
not
sorry,
from
I'm
you,
confused.
Not from me.
This is weird.
But so do you? So that's gonna get really confusing.
It is.
So it's like Avery is us.
Yeah, exactly.
But us.
So I have to explain it. It's like Avery is us.
Avery is us, but us is me and you.
Yeah, we are us.
We are us.
But I'm also us.
Because Avery is us.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the Twitter handle.
Yes.
Right.
It is. That it is. And Instagram.
And Instagram. So is us a different person? Is it a character? Is it a alter ego? What is us?
Us is...
I know we are us, but what is us?
We are us, but Avery is us is my first venture into just solo work.
Yeah.
Just doing production and actually like full songwriting, whereas before, you know, I was just producing.
Yeah.
And this is just my first try at actually just doing a full project on my own.
So us is it's a separate entity.
Yeah.
But it's encompassed within Avery.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still my production, the same, you know, that you hear with 2011 and on, you know, some other people's stuff. It's the same production, but it with me actually. You hear my voice now.
Yeah. So it's. But you also hear the voice on the new 2011 song "Dance Floor to the Sun" on iTunes.
Good point.
And on Spotify,
hey-o.
By the way, as heard on CW39. I'm just putting it all out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it. If we're gonna promote. We're gonna promote.
Plug
it. But you actually have a lot coming up this week. I mean, today's Monday, and tomorrow you're leaving
City
of Houston.
Yeah, I leave for New York. I'm DJing CMJ on Thursday. This is as us.
Yes.
It's just an us DJ set. I'm going to be spinning in New York, which is pretty awesome. That's my first performance in New York, so I'm super stoked about that.
And is it your it's your first performance as you, right?
Yeah, actually, it's my debut performance as us.
As us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the first us show. I do that Thursday night. And
wait, but you've DJed before.
I have,
but
yeah.
But not just with yourself.
Not just as, yeah, never by myself, and never as this entity.
Never
this,
as
my,
us.
My DJ set is pretty, I would say kind of like, I don't play any of my own stuff, but it definitely includes a lot of the elements that influenced a lot of the us sound.
So what are you playing, though? Like, are you playing just, I mean, are you just playing
like
songs?
Some down-tempo electronic stuff, house, trap. I actually have a little homage to Houston in there.
Oh,
at
nice.
At one point. I'm actually, so I'm going to be recording the set, and the DJ set's going to be online probably about a week, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the full mix is going to be on there.
So you're going to upload that. So that's going to be kind of
us. Yeah, I'm going to have the mix, the DJ mix on there.
And you can download it on whatever.
It's going to be on SoundCloud, yeah.
On SoundCloud, okay.
Which, yeah, soundcloud.com/AveryIsUs.
Okay, so
they're all the same.
Yeah, Avery is us. Just SoundCloud, Instagram, Twitter,
yeah.
Facebook?
Yes, facebook.com/AveryIsUs.
Avery is us, all things. You need a website. You need like central.
There's AveryIsUs.com, but
okay.
it redirects to Facebook.
But I'm going to let you in on something. I just launched my site, right?
Yeah,
BradJGilmore.com. GoDaddy website builder.
It goes hard in the paint.
It does go hard in the paint. That's what I did the whole thing.
But they're going to charge you next year.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be pissed because I got that charge and I was like,
is it
what?
Expensive?
I don't remember. It was just money I didn't have at the time.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, I used this a year ago and I haven't touched it since.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But you're going to be using it a lot, though. So
I will
totally
be using
good.
It. So, yeah. But I would assume you'd be using AveryIsUs.com.
That's true. I would.
You need,
need to get
just
on
put
that.
It out there.
Just
a splasher.
Yeah.
You're just a little splasher.
I'm going to give him just a splash.
Give him just a little splash. But you're DJing in New York. You get there on Tuesday.
Yep.
You're DJing on Thursday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Tuesday. Wednesday is going to be all business stuff. And then got the show. And then flying back the next morning for my show at Fitzgerald's, opening for the Tauntauns, which is going to be actually my first live set. That's going to be, you know, all original stuff. It's going to be a lot of stuff off of my debut EP, which is actually coming out the same day. So that comes out October 24th.
Okay.
Now
you did release this, though, earlier this year, right?
I did.
As a full length.
I did.
Project mixtape.
Kind of full length.
Because I'm looking at the actual CD, which looks awesome because it's black, and black is beautiful.
Black is beautiful.
If only you could get it more black.
If I could get blacker than that black, then
we would be perfect. I mean, it'd be amazing.
Over.
The blacker the berry, right?
Yes.
Black of the berry.
That juice would be
so sweet.
Yeah.
It'd be so sweet, it'd be tart.
Got the juice.
You got the juice. But this CD that I'm holding in my hand, only has 5 songs.
It does, yeah. So
and the original one had like 8, right?
It had 7.
7.
So before it had some covers on there.
Okay.
So this version, I revisited some of the originals. I took the covers off for legal reasons.
Yeah, because you didn't.
Because I don't
want to
get sued
to recover them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I took the covers off and I just mixed it again and mastered it. It sounds way better. Than the first time. I'm so happy. Because
the first project came about in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I just did it randomly. I didn't have any. There was no, like, I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm gonna mass produce this and try to perform it, all of that. I just put it online. I was like, let's see. You know, I'm just going to do it just to do it, see what happens.
Yeah.
Then I was like, you know what? Maybe I can actually put a little bit more effort into this and do it right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's working for me so far.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. So we have Open Sing For Me, Pieces, See You Smile, which is the single.
It is.
And Finale.
Yes.
Okay, so but that's Thursday. Is the New York show Friday? Tauntauns, Buckamore, right?
Yep. Ume from Austin.
Ume from Austin, which is, you know, she's from Austin.
From Houston,
they?
And then moved on. Whatever, Austin. Ume.
Okay, Ume.
Yeah.
What is Ume? Do you know about Ume?
I don't know what Ume is.
No, I'm saying, is it a band?
Yeah, it's a band.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm just asking. Yeah. Ume's a band.
Yeah.
Buckamore, obviously a rapper.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd consider rapper.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what to call him, but
it's good.
I would just like to put it out there that I've been hearing some of his new stuff, and damn. Like,
it's like that?
Yeah.
I need to talk to him. I haven't talked to Buck in a while, huh?
You should fuck with Buck.
I should.
Fuck with Buck. he's been really, I can tell he's been really working hard lately, and it's gonna pay off soon.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. So and then of course Tauntauns.
And then Tauntauns, yeah.
Tauntauns are dope. Yeah. We like the Tauntauns.
Yeah, yeah. They, I mean, are kind of a fixture in the Houston music scene nowadays. Yeah. It seems like they're, you know, they're on that verge of being not really local anymore in a way. You know
yeah,
I mean?
No, they are. They're yeah. on that bubble.
Yeah, I mean, they're just kind of constantly.
Okay, so
on tour.
But we've seen Tauntauns perform. Awesome band.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Bucklemore, I've seen them perform amazing. Mm-hmm. Ume, I'm sure, if they're on the bill, is amazing. Now, this is your first real, though. I know yeah. you have the New York show, but this is your first real all the way live performance, yeah. singing, playing the music,
yep.
all that good stuff. I mean, how are you feeling?
I am.
Because you got some heavy hitters on the
yeah,
bill.
I'm both really nervous and really excited. I was really nervous and like and moderately excited
yeah.
until a few days ago. But no, now I'm just really excited and just really ready to do it. I think it's going to be really fun. I was just kind of scared before. Because it is way different from anything I've ever done.
Well, yeah, because I was thinking about it myself. Yeah. I was like, man, Avery's got this show yeah. coming up on the 24th of October, blah, blah, blah. It's mm-hmm. Fitzgerald's, which is a big, you know, pretty good venue.
Yeah,
upstairs. You know
what I mean? It's upstairs, a great
big,
place, yeah.
It's a great place. A lot of people, you know, we've played there before. Yeah. So I was thinking, I was like, man, but, you know, Avery's always been in the band, you know. And so I started thinking about me. I'm like, okay, well, I've only performed musically with, mm-hmm. with the guys with 2011. So yeah. it's like, if I F up, someone's got my back
yeah.
to help me. So, I mean, mm-hmm. is that going through your mind at all? Like, man, what if I screw
it's,
up out
it's
there?
Weird.
I have
yeah.
no safety net. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely weird because I'm performing every instrument. I mean, there are some, like, backing tracks. But I'm performing, like, all the lead instruments and vocals. And
at the same time.
At the same damn time.
Yeah.
And there's, like, not a whole lot of room to... Well, there's no room really to mess up. And so, like, and it's my first time not being in, like, the back of the stage, really. You know, like.
Yeah, because you're the drummer.
Yeah,
typically.
I'm always just kind of chilling in the back doing my thing. Now it's.
You don't even
like,
have to look at the crowd. You
I
know
really
what I mean?
Don't.
Yeah.
I don't. And so now it's a little weird. Like, I was thinking about that too the other day. I was like, man, that's just me up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just. Solo.
It's just you.
Yeah.
It's just you.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. It is.
It's super scary when you think about it.
Yeah, it started to set in more, like, the other day.
It's going to set in, really, when they're like, all right, Avery, you're on in 10.
Yeah.
Or I'm whatever.
Like, oh man. Just me. Yeah.
A couple Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jack and Coke.
Yeah, just, yeah.
You'd be ready to go, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so you got that Thursday.
That one's on Friday.
I mean, Friday. Yeah. Thursday is the New York. Friday is the Fitzgerald's.
Yep.
And then the next day.
The next day, I am doing,
25th.
I guess, so this is going to be like my official EP release show, and that's going to be at Cactus Music. 1 p.m., I'm doing an in-store show. It's free, kid-friendly.
Yes.
And free drinks sponsored by St. Arnold's. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good time. I'm going to be just kind of hanging out for a while, and I'm going to play some music for you guys. So.
I mean, but so there you go. You have DJ set. First all out performance.
Yep.
But is the one at Cactus going to be like stripped back a little bit? Or
no, I'm definitely going to be put like
the full guns.
So I mean, I have a little bit of production that's going into it, and it's going to be like I'm going to be trying to put on just like probably I'm going to try to put on more of a show at the Cactus show just because it is going to be. Exclusively my show. I'm not opening for someone, so I mean, it's gonna be just as much of a show as the Fitzgerald show.
So, have you thought of like, okay, so like you have all these instruments around you and you're singing. Are you gonna be able to walk? You're not gonna be able to walk around, really, are you?
Not a whole lot. I have it set up, so I mean, I can move a little bit around, like side to side, and I can move like I have a lot of you know I can move behind me plenty, but like
The stuff
there's,
in front.
I mean, but essentially, I have like my setup in front of me, and I'm. Kind of there the whole time playing. I mean, there's enough room for me to move and not knock stuff over, obviously.
Yeah.
But I am kind of in one central area the whole time.
And then, though...
I mean, similar to, like, how a DJ would be.
So, you know? Cactus Music on Saturday, Fitzgerald's Friday.
Yep.
And then, don't you have something the next week?
Yeah, and then, so I'm actually playing percussion for my buddies, Wrestlers. Wrestlers are opening for Cut Copy in Los Angeles November 1st, which is part of a big thing that Red Bull is doing. They're doing, like, a show every night the whole month of November, like a big show. And so they've got Cut Copy coming all the way from Australia.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so that's going to be us. Not us. That's going to be Wrestlers. Yeah, it's already getting confusing. That's going to be Wrestlers. Gemini Club is also opening for Cut Copy.
And then cut copy the actual group.
Yeah.
Cut copy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what I was about to say, Red Bull. Did you hear, though, about Red Bull?
I did.
Did you hear they're giving the money away?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out whether or not I want money or Red Bull. I think I might just...
I go for the Red Bull, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing is, it's like $10 they're going to send
you?
Yeah,
it's $10.
It's like, you know what? I'm good on getting sent $10. Like, but some Red Bull. All right. That's cool.
I'd be cool with Red Bull products. Yeah. You know, actually, though, we just did the reality wrestling shows last Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And Red Bull came and, like, gave us, like, Red Bull came and gave us 5 or 6, like, cases of Red Bull.
Nice.
At the end of the night, I was like, hey, Book, what are you going to do with all this Red Bull? And he was like, yo, you could take a case. So I just took it was a 24-pack of Red Bull. And I did the math. I'm like, that's like $75 of Red Bull. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'll take the 15, and then I'm always have $103 of Red Bull in my possession.
There you go.
My possession.
Your possession.
Yes. So where can they get that? Because you have physical copies. I'm holding one in my hand. Where can they get the actual physical?
So you can actually pre-order the physical at averyisus.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
I have pre-orders there. I mean, if for some reason you don't want the physical, you can still pre-order the digital download. If you pre-order the physical, you'll get a digital download as well.
Okay,
so
cool.
Why not?
2 for 1.
It's basically the same price. Well, $3 for shipping.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a real CD, which is pretty cool, I think.
Do you think they're going out, the real CD? Do you think we're not going to have them anymore?
I personally like the real CD. I like real CDs. I think a real CD is much more handy at a show than for, like, online sales. Exactly. I mean, when I'm at a show, I'm inclined to buy someone's CD.
Yeah.
You know, and people are in the same, you know, like, people are going to want to buy my CD if I actually have CDs there. It's a lot easier to get someone to buy your CD on the spot than to get someone to go home and download your stuff.
Yeah. That's
but if you're promoting online, then it's like, you know, it's like, well, why am I going to pre-order a physical CD when I can just download it at the same time?
Yeah. You know? No, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it makes more sense. So you can get that pre-ordered.
Yep.
Are there going to be copies at Cactus?
There will be copies at Fitz's and at Cactus.
At the shows.
Yes, at both shows you can pick up a physical copy.
And where can they find tickets for these events?
So actually, if you head to my Facebook... it's just averyisus.com.
You can go straight there.
Yeah, then there's links to the Facebook events, and you can get all the tickets, all that online. I think you can also go to fitzlive.com, I believe, is Fitzgerald's website.
I think it's like, isn't it Fitz Music Live? Or
Fitz Music Live. I don't know. Just Google it.
Yeah, Google
it. You can all use Google.
Or if you're a
Fitzgerald's
Bing,
Houston,
you're a Binger.
Google it, and you'll find it. Like I said, the show at Cactus is free.
Yeah, okay, so we got free events, and if you're in New York, I'm sure you already know
about
CMJ.
Yeah, that show's free as well, actually.
It's free.
Yeah, it's a Texas takeover. There's a DJ set from Wrestlers. Also, The Suffers, I think, are closing out the night.
Oh, dope.
And so that's going to be a really great free show, so why not go?
So if you're in NYC on Thursday...
Yep, hit up the Delancey.
The Delancey. What part of town? What borough are you rocking?
Manhattan.
Manhattan?
Lower East Side.
Oh, Lower East Side. The Lower East Side in Manhattan.
Sorry, I'm just going to... Well, yeah, lower kind of sounds... That sounds kind of weird.
It sounds bad.
Why don't you say southeast?
Yeah, like just say lower. Manhattan.
Yeah,
Manhattan sounds good. Yeah. When you say lower anything, it just has a bad tinge to it.
Yeah, it just sounds kind of weird. Yeah.
But if you're in Manhattan, you need to find the restaurant where they shot the exteriors for Seinfeld. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called Tom's Restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in I think it is in lower Manhattan, so...
Okay.
Lower East Side or whatever you just said.
Manhattan's pretty small, so.
Yeah, it's a small little borough. It's a borough.
Yeah.
It's not a city. Yeah. It's a borough. But anyway, Avery is Us. You can get all the stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
averyisus.com. Yes. Pre-order the album or the EP.
Yes.
The EP, you got Open, Sing For Me, Pieces. See You Smile. You put out a lyric video.
Yeah, I did. That's just kind of a little fun thing I wanted to do, just some sort of visual to go along
with. Are you
going to
put up a full visual or are you just going to do lyric styles?
Between Us.
Uh-huh. Between me and you, or between...
Between myself, or between... No, between Brad, Avery, and everyone else listening.
And the listeners.
Yeah. I am going to be working on a full-length video for that.
Sweetness.
As well as something else off the EP.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You'll see.
Finale.
You'll see, I say.
Okay, we'll see you, he say. I say. Well, averyisus.com. Make sure you check them out Thursday if you're here in town. I mean, if you're in New York.
Yep.
Friday if you're here in town. Saturday afternoon if you're here.
For
Cactus
free.
Cactus Music for free. Fitz Live.
Yep.
And tickets are at averyisus.com.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Y'all tune in next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening. please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.
The Brad Gilmore Show expresses views and opinions that apply to Brad Gilmore and his guest alone. They do not reflect the views and opinions of Reality Wrestling 2011 or any other entity.